Wednesday, April 10, 2019, for our Active Transportation Committee meeting. I just wanted to give a couple of instructions. There's water and soda over here at the table and underneath. And if you want coffee, it's in the kitchen, which is right back here. And then bathrooms, restrooms are down this hall and to the to your left. Okay? All right. Also, we are short some microphones, so please push the button on the mic. And there's one for every three people, I think. And make sure you speak loud and clear for us. And when you entertain a motion, I'd appreciate it if you state your name so that for the record, because we're still getting to know everybody here, so appreciate it. Okay, we'll start out with introductions, and I'll start. I'm Joe Schoblin, Mayor Joe from South Weber City, and then we'll start over here with Katie. Go around.
Scott Feston with the council staff.
Dirk Burton, West Jordan City Council.
Brett Mackett, Utah Department of Health.
We'll start off with Utah.
Heidi Goodhart, Utah Planning Active Transportation.
Hugh Mackett, in Wasatch Front Regional Council.
Andrew Gruber with WFRC, and welcome to our new offices.
Dory Downer, Wasatch Front Regional Council.
Norm Searle, Mayor of Riverdale
City. Helen Peters, Transportation Program Manager, Salt Lake County.
I'm Peter Tang with UDOT Region 2.
Grant Farnsworth, Region 2 Planning Manager.
Mayor Cardiola, Stockton.
Dave McCall, Tooele City.
Okay, and then if we could start over here.
I'm sorry, I want to have a council staff.
Chris Davenport, also with the
University
staff.
Chrissy
Dahlberg,
Wasatch
Front staff.
Tim Marks,
with Parks
Engineers.
Ananka Regia with the Salt Lake County Bicycle Advisory Committee.
Paul Alexander.
Matt Cruzayach, Health Planning Design. Frank
Alberger, Health Planning Design.
Mel Merkley with the U.S. County Health Department.
Andrea Olson with UDOT Region 1 Planning.
Dwight Thomas with Harris City Engineer.
Stephanie Olsen, Salt Lake County Health Department.
Holy King, Salt Lake County Health Department. Nikki Lake, Community Health Utah.
Kevin Lesbridge, Bosshead Front, staff.
Matt Sable, UDOT Planning.
All right, thank you everybody. Thanks for coming this morning. Okay, we'll begin with Mary, good to see you back.
Mary Pratt, I'm with WFRC.
All right, thank you. All right, first on our agenda, we need to approve the minutes from the February 13th, 2019 meeting. I will entertain now a motion to approve those minutes. Okay. Sarah Valentine with a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Mayor Searle with a second. Any further comments or questions on those? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion carries. Next on our agenda, we have public comment. Please keep your comments to 2 minutes or less, and please come to a microphone that's turned on. Appreciate it. We're now open for public comment.
And welcome, Mayor Walker.
Oh, yes, Mayor Walker. Thanks. Okay, hearing none, we'll continue on.
Elliot doesn't even have a comment today.
I like your facilities.
It is a nice facility. All right, quiet group. All right, so I do have a couple of things that I would like to announce, some exciting things for South Weber City and surrounding communities. We have three major regional trails that just stop at like the border of our city, and we're kind of the missing link to this trail system. So when we found out that UDOT was planning to do some construction on Highway 89, we began talks with them 2 years ago, and we've been working in conjunction with Weber Pathways and Davis County to get them to put some sort of a connection under or over or through Highway 89, whatever way they needed to do it. And We've been talking to the Utah Transportation Commission and many legislators, and finally we have received word from Carlos Braceres that we will get a box culvert under US 89, just around the mouth of Weber Canyon, in conjunction with this upcoming US 89 farming to the I-84 project. So we are super excited about that. And the cool thing about it is that the project was underfunded, and so they won't even count as far north as our box culvert needs to be, but they are still going to construct that box culvert for us with that project. So it's pretty exciting. We also received word that we will receive a TLC grant from the Wasatch Front Regional Council to do the planning and engineering for the trail that will lead up to that connection. So pretty exciting times for South Weber City. So, thank you. All right. So moving on, we will do our regional plan, transportation plan update, and Hugh is going to do that.
Katie, is that, I think I put it in the folder and I apologize. There we go. Perfect. So for those that are not familiar, the Regional Transportation Plan is a four-year planning effort, and we're just now wrapping it up, but it does look across our whole region, from the point of the mountain in Salt Lake County all the way north to Brigham City and portions of Box Elder County. And right now, obviously roadways, transit, and bicycle and pedestrian facilities, we are in the process of wrapping this up. And on April 17th, it will go to the technical advisory committees for the Ogden Lake urbanized area and the Salt Lake West Valley urbanized area for their recommendation, which will get passed on to Regional Growth Committee and then on to the Wasatch Front Regional Council. And it's a little bit hard to see on this scale, but all of the projects identified have a facility type to them at the moment. Right? Is it a bike lane? Is it a protected bike lane? Is it a separated path? Right? Multi-use trail? And with that, this is sort of what we're calling the preferred facility. And again, in partnership with UDOT and UTA and the local municipalities and local governments, getting these facilities on the map over the next 30 years. Part of that process, at our last ATC meeting, we presented this language that was built in conjunction with UDOT. And for those that were here, raise your hand if you were here at that meeting by chance. All right, so this sort of got torn apart. The identified solution for certain active transportation facilities cannot be implemented with paint or resurfacing until a complete redesign or reconstruction of the facility occurs and or additional right-of-way can be acquired. During project development, solutions for the facility based on current context will be identified. So we got some great feedback on this language from this committee and those in attendance. And so we went back and reworked, again, in conjunction with UDOT, to say, all right, that language was confusing for people that weren't part of the process. So the new and improved language, if I can call it that, does state the planned active transportation solution may evolve over time. During project development, context-sensitive solutions will be considered to build out the preferred solution. Further jurisdiction coordination, deployment of interim designs, or phased implementation may be necessary until a complete redesign or reconstruction of the roadway and AT facility occurs and or additional right-of-way can be acquired. Again, trying to recognize that even though it's on the RTP, getting into the context and context-sensitive and additional considerations at the time of project development have to be considered when those projects move forward. So we appreciate the feedback from last meeting, and this is the language we have now, which we do feel is improved. So after the adoption of this document in May, we will be coordinating with the other MPOs in the state to work on the unified transportation plans with the Cash MPO, Dixie MPO, MAG, ourselves, and UDOT, who carries the remainder of the state and the rural areas. And so that would sort of be the next step after the adoption of the RTP come May of this year. So that is the quick update there. Thank you, Mayor.
All right. Thank you. All right, next we have the TLC awards presentation. Hey, Alex Roy.
Yeah, thanks.
There he is.
Do I have to stand up here even though you did it? Hi, welcome. So, same past couple of weeks, we showed that. Can you hear me?
you better. We chose the 2019 TLC projects that will be funded through this next funding cycle. Quick update on the program goals. The TLC program likes to work with local communities to meet them where they are in the planning process. We have a number of different goals and objectives of the program. It really is a program to help local communities reduce impacts of transportation and maximize transportation investments by, you know, easily making walkable, livable, bikeable communities. So it's a really great program. Feel free to come talk to me if you're interested in learning more about it or if you've heard more about it. Apply next year. So this past year, we will have $1.5 million in total projects. Of that, 9 will be in the Salt Lake urbanized area and 6 in the Ogden Lake urbanized area. We have 3 active transportation plans, and while that seems like a small number, a lot of these are multi-jurisdictional, so we have 13 communities that are having active transportation plans done in the 2019 funding cycle. While there are only 3 that are specifically active transportation plans, a lot of these other projects do have an active transportation component. One example is the North Salt Lake Town Center branding and weight mining. This is looking at North Salt Lake, kind of on their Main Street, Center Street intersection, and really identifying how you can make that a walkable, livable place. So we're looking at different pedestrian and bicycle wayfinding and other like placemaking elements that can really, like, beyond just the infrastructure of walking, how can you make it a nice place to walk? In the Salt Lake area, a similar project in the Jordan River 3300 South Neighborhood Master Plan in South Salt Lake is looking at how we can maximize that tracks hub and kind of work the neighborhood around it to really provide good connections in that area.
Mayor, did you want to comment on that project?
Well, obviously we're always happy to see more trail. I mean, we spend a lot of money on dirt trails and things like that. But to see this, these paved trails connect is outstanding. I mean, I think it makes a big difference with respect to being able to go north, you know, on a paved trail. It's going to make things. I get reports of more and more people using the trail to get around and get to work. I'm excited for the one that Lehigh's ultimately going to get done that will connect the southern end of the valley with us. But yeah, we're happy about that.
Great. Thanks. We'll get to Sandy and Draper have a combined active transportation plan that'll be in 2019. Christy Dahlberg is going to be the project manager from the WFRC side, so that should be really exciting. You know, a lot of opportunity down in that area. So in the north, we have Clearfield, Syracuse, West Point, Clinton, and Sunset combining for a northern combined active transportation plan. And as the mayor mentioned, we also have the South Weber City. They're looking at connecting the Weber River Parkway to the Bonneville shoreline. It's going to be working with the community to identify both the exact location and kind of some facility prioritization options. And then Salt Lake County, we have Mill Creek, Cottonwood Heights, Holiday, Midvale, Murray, and Taylorville combined for the Mid-Valley Active Transportation Plan. 6 communities covering most of, you know, a large part of Salt Lake County. We're working to kind of coordinate with those cities to identify what each city kind of wants to get out of their plan. There are some different makeups, urban versus suburban, people that, you know, active connections to the transit system versus maybe a little more recreation users. So it's going to be pretty exciting project, and we're really looking at crossing jurisdictional lines and making sure there's continuity throughout the Mid-Valley. And then Sandy Draper, as I just mentioned, are doing an active transportation plan combined, and that'll be an exciting project looking how to maximize some of the transportation investments in those cities. So with that, wrap up. Are there any questions?
I just wanted to add one more thing. When you know, one of the things that we do, and I know everybody else, all the other cities are trying to do it, when we construct a new road, we put the bike lane in. Now, if you've been mayor, council member before, you know that it doesn't matter what you do, someone's going to be mad. So we'll go in and talk about widening a road, making a better facility, and you'll always have people saying it's going to ruin my property values, it's going to make the world worse. everything's going to end. And then the road goes in with the bike lane, and people are like, why don't we have these all over town? This is awesome. We have a safe way for people to bike. So I think as we do these plans and just even making the road accommodate bikes or ways for people to get around that way, I think it's a big deal. I think people are starting to notice that the public. We did one across 13200 South, if you're familiar. UTA used to block 13200 South. There was no crossing. And it was like Armageddon when we suggested building this road and connecting the east and the west. Now, when you drive down it, it looks like it. Why didn't we do it 20 years earlier? I mean, no one's property values went down, by the way. They all went up.
Two things. One, first of all, Alex, thanks for going through the TLC program awards. I just want to make a comment about the TLC program. We've been doing this program for a few years. WFRC administers it, but it's funded jointly and in such collaboration with Salt Lake County. So Helen, thank you very much. And also UDOT and UTA. So it's a real team effort to come together around transportation choices and then also how transportation relates to land use. And so we're really proud of the work that's happening in this program. The ability to fund these active transportation plans, multi-community active transportation plans, is very, very cool. I mean, we know that in the goals for this committee that you all adopted, the first goal was adopt regional bike routes and plans, and that was what Hugh was talking about. And then the second goal, the local plans, to make sure that the cities, the local communities, have their local plans, your local plans in place that are consistent. And just to see all of these plans with how many, did you say 13 additional communities around the region that are going to be able to develop their local plans, and not just one city, but working in conjunction with their neighbors. It's just the direction that we're trying to go in, and right, Phil, the goal to have every community on the Wasatch Front have a local plan in place, and we're really moving in that direction. So it's exciting to see.
And we have our map updated on our website. I don't know if you can.
Here's the mic.
We have that map updated on our website. I don't know if you can change it, but Hugh and I have been working pretty closely on that. And right now, of the four Wasatch Front counties, we're up to 63% of the communities have AT plans, which 4 or 5 years ago was 13%.
Wow, not so, including, and then the ones that Alex was just talking about, those are not in the 60.
They're in the 63%.
Oh, they are, so either have them or they're planning to keep them. Okay.
Adopted or funded.
That's cool.
All right, thank you, Andrew, and thank you so much, Alex. We're super excited. And the surrounding communities are definitely benefiting from that program. So thank you, all of you that are helping with that. Okay, next on the agenda is the CMAQ, TAP, and TAC recommendations. And Ben Woodridge is giving that report.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning and walk through some of the projects that have been identified and recommended from the Technical Advisory Committee. For some of your information, so the Transportation Improvement Program is, or the TIP as it's commonly referred to, is updated annually. And every year we go through the same process or cycle where we request early in the year or late in the year, I guess, if in the time frame of September, we request letters of intent, and those letters of intent identify a project that the sponsor potentially is going to submit a concept report. That comes into the staff. We do a very high level evaluation or an eligibility determination, and then we request from the project sponsors that they prepare a concept report. Those concept reports then come in with a specific amount of data that we've inquired from the project sponsor, so that when we have varying types of projects, we've asked the same type of data questions so we can measure those projects against each other with the appropriate data. That comes in, we go through this evaluation process through the months of latter part of January through the end of March. when we meet with the technical advisory committees, they make recommendations. And today I want to present to you that information for your review and any comments we might receive from this body as we prepare to take this information in the TRANSCOM or the Transportation Coordinating Committee for the Regional Council. In the Ogden-Layton urban area, which essentially goes from North Salt Lake all the way up to Brigham City, we had 48 projects that were requested, totaling more than $262 million. Of those projects, the three funding types that the Wasatch Front Regional Council has a responsibility to program is the Surface Transportation Program, or SDP, the Congestion Mitigation Air Quality, or CMAQ, and then there's the Transportation Alternatives Program, or the TAP funds. In the TAP program, talking specifically to that, those are our non-motorized or our active transportation specific type of projects, though the other funding sources provide also revenue for active transportation components in the other projects, as referenced earlier from the mayor. So in the TAP projects in the Ogden-Layton area, there was $1.6 million requested against an available amount of just a little more than $600,000. In the Salt Lake area, we had 46 projects requested, totaling more than $308 million. But in the TAP program, there was about almost $4.5 million in requests against $1.2 million in availability. Now, the eligible projects for the TAP funding as identified by Federal Highways is on and off-road trail facilities infrastructure relating to the projects. Going down the route, conversion of abandoned railroads, construction of turnouts and overlooks, community improvement activities, vegetation management, archaeological improvement, environmental mitigation, and reduced vehicle. The regional council recommended that we focus our attention or our funds on large bicycle or pedestrian infrastructure type projects, smaller bicycle or pedestrian infrastructure, as well as small planning studies towards active transportation. So we developed the eligibility, we identified the criteria, and this was the information that we took to the technical advisory committees. We had the regional priorities. Will the project fill a gap or complete a connection? Provide access to transit stations, support a Wasatch Choice, provides non-motorized safety benefits, sponsors match, the innovative approach, community support, the diversity of the users, as well as the cost effectiveness. This information was provided in the data as well as on field reviews. We looked at the equity of the funding, the history of the project sponsors, synergy on the project. What if we were to build this project now sooner rather than wait a few years? Did we get some benefit with the efficiencies? And then how would the project complete a system or other professional considerations? So walking through, there was 8 projects that were recommended in the TAP program. The first project going from in the Ogden-Layton urban area down through the south, we start with the North Salt Lake project. This is a construction of some missing sidewalk along Redwood Road in North Salt Lake. The project estimated cost was $229,000 plus. Funds being requested were $182,000 plus, and the technical advisory committee recommended the full requested amount. The next project was in Roy. This is also a sidewalk project or safe routes to school, which was one of those identified priorities for these funds. Estimated project cost was a little more than $300,000. Funds being requested were $271,000 plus, and the TAC recommended that full requested amount. The third project in the Ogden-Layton area was a little unique. This is actually a traffic signal on 20th Street. Now, the purpose behind the recommendation of this traffic is because of the visibility in the intersection. The right-of-way traffic, or the traffic that had to go ahead through the intersection, had poor visibility for other vehicles, but also for any pedestrians or bicyclists that happened to be entering that intersection. This was a safety concern, as well as it would provide a great benefit for all modes of transportation in the area. So the request was for $379,000 plus. There wasn't that amount of money available. The TAC recommended that the remaining balance in the Ogden area go towards that project at $239,000, with the agreement from Ogden City that they would find the difference and that project would move forward sooner than later. Now moving into the Salt Lake West Valley area. First one is out in the Magna area. This is on 2820 South. This is to construct some missing sidewalk. This is also a safe route to school. Project estimated cost was just under $200,000. Funds being requested was a little more than $185,000, and the TAC recommended the full requested amount. The next project was also in the Magna area. This is on a trail extension on the Utah Salt Lake Canal. As you're aware, this has been piecemealed throughout the area. This particular section goes from 3930 South to about 3680 South. Diagonally across, project estimated cost in this area was $100,000. And the request was for $90,000. And we were, because they're going to hardtop an existing road area, we were going to get quite a benefit for a small amount of money. The TAC recommended the full request at $90,000. The next project is an extension on the Crosstown Trail. This too has been a project that with multiple phases. The total project cost was just under $2 million, which exceeded the available funds by quite a bit. In discussion with the city and from recommendation from the TAC, they recommended $451,000 for this project, and then the project scope will address these amount of funds and we'll get the benefit of the dollar. Next project is on Mill Creek. This is on 4500 South. This is to construct sidewalk where no sidewalk and a very rough shoulder exists. This is an area where there was a fatality not too long ago. This will construct a sidewalk in front of six homes, providing access between a park facility as well as where the existing sidewalk begins. Project estimated cost was just under or over $350,000. Funds being requested was $333,000. TAC recommended the full requested amount. Then we've got the request from Green Bike in Salt Lake. Many of you are aware of this program. It's been very successful in the Salt Lake area. This is to expand what's currently underway. It was requested that this $350,000 be applied to this. This project also had a request in for some CMAQ funds to expand to a little greater degree. The Technical Advisory Committee recommended that $200,000 in the TAP program go towards Green Bike, as well as $200,000 in the CMAQ program, which we'll talk about in just a second. So that was the TAP projects that were recommended from the Technical Advisory Committees in both of the urban areas, the Salt Lake West Valley and the Ogden Lake urban area. Any questions on any of those projects? If not, if I could proceed then with just a little more. So as was referred to by the mayor, every time we're building a project, we're looking at all aspects and the benefits that we can get. We've got limited amount of funds. We want to accomplish a great amount of work, and we want to have as many components as available to make things happen. So looking at both of the urban areas this year, so we had 30 projects that were recommended out of, there was 90 plus projects that were requested. There were 30 projects that were recommended. Of those 30 projects, we had 47 plus million that was programmed. That's over all three programs in both urban areas. That's quite a bit of money. And that does everything from our air quality benefits, our trail projects, to our road rehab and reconstruction type project. Well, out of those 30 projects, 26 of them have some significant active transportation components in it. And of that amount, which is, I had those two reversed, about 18 to 21% of that amount of money that was totally programmed was programmed for active transportation components, equating to about $8.5 to $9.9 million in active transportation components that are being recommended for the 2021 for the TAP funds or the 2025 for the STP and CMAQ programs. So just to highlight a couple of them other programs, so in the STP, for example, in the Ogden-Layton urban area, Farmington City on our Main Street Road, if you're familiar with that, has a fairly narrow cross-section with no shoulders, no curb, no gutter, no sidewalk. And in a lot of those areas, the pedestrians are required to walk in the travel lane. The TAC recommended that $2 million be programmed for this project. The improvements to the widening of this facility are for shoulder, curb, gutter, and sidewalk on the west side. The east side was programmed last year. In the Ogden-Layton urban area, a lot of you are familiar with bus rapid transit construction project. Out of that $79 million project, and we're going after other federal funds, they're working diligently there. There's been a lot of contribution from Weber County, from the cities, from UTA, from Wasatch Front, from UDOT, but we were short $1.5 million to put the final capstone of the local match. So the TAC recommended that $1.5 million. So a significant backbone for a lot of the active transportation in the area. Just a couple of more, Harrisville City has a narrow cross-section, or a two-lane cross-section with some sidewalk on the north side of the road. This one will widen and give us a sidewalk, curb, gutter, and shoulder on both sides of the road. This project in West Jordan, a lot of you are familiar with the significance of 1300 West. This total project improvement is $17 million. Salt Lake County has money on it. WFRC already has some money on it. UDOT has some money on it. The local governments do. Well, there was a request for 4.8 to extend more to widen the facility in the areas where it necks down or around intersections so that we can maintain or keep this priority as a north-south bike route. And so the TAC recommended the full 4.8. We could go through a lot more of the projects there, but I wanted to point out that of the 30 projects, just in recap, that were recommended, 26 of them have significant active transportation component parts of those projects. And so overall, it was been a very successful process to this point. We'll take this information before Transcom next Wednesday. Is there any comments or thoughts that you would have me take with when we make those presentations?
Ben, thank you for your presentation. I was just speaking with Andrew here, and I agree, it's so cool to see that we've done the regional planning, the local planning, and now to see these projects come to fruition and actually be built is just an exciting thing, and so good to see so much active transportation being followed through.
Thank you.
So thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, next on our agenda is a legislative recap, and Hugh and Heidi, are you both?
Yeah, I'm gonna jump up here. I gotta get my steps in, so I'm back and forth.
Thank you, Mayor. So at our last meeting, we also went over these same items that were in process during the legislative session, and now, of course, that session is wrapped up. And I'm glad that Lanise is here and Andrew's here, who are heavily involved in a lot of things going on in the legislature, Phil as well. And please feel free to pipe in during anything that comes up here. And actually, the very first thing I'm going to do is turn it over to Heidi to talk about Senate Bill 72, if you're up for that, which is transportation governance. And this is a bill that did pass, so we're going to highlight it as green on the screen here. But Heidi, please.
Yeah, so some of you are familiar with Senate Bill 136 that happened last year and kind of rearranged some of UTA's governance structure with their board and kind of mandated that UDOT get a second deputy director of planning and investment. And she's in place and has been for about a year. Her name is Terry Newell. She's our second deputy director. Anyway, so Senate Bill 72 was kind of some housekeeping to follow up on things that needed to be addressed after Senate Bill 136. And it includes, you know, just some language refining structure with UTA and UDOT, but also dives into some of the details with TIF, our Transportation Investment Fund, and TTIF, our Transit Transportation Investment Fund dollars, and the definition behind how we can spend that money. So previously, UDOT was very restricted on our color of money, If it was a maintenance project or resurfacing, we were very restricted and could only spend about 1% to 2% of the project. In some cases, more if there were safety concerns on adding or enhancing the active transportation infrastructure associated with that facility. But with Senate Bill 72, the definition for TIF has been opened up so that we can do standalone active transportation projects. There are no longer restrictions on funding amounts and allotments for active transportation. So this is hugely exciting. The definition for transit transportation investment fund dollars has been opened up as well, but those require a 40% match on behalf of a local agency. So we can still very much move forward with how we're putting in bicycle and active transportation infrastructure and sidewalks. And we're working really diligently right now at UDOT Planning on figuring out how we can restructure the prioritization with that TIF funding, because that money has been programmed out right now for the next 5 years. And since that definition for that funding source has been kind of reworked, we need to re-examine a lot of the selection criteria and how we can then fold in these standalone active transportation projects, which kind of legally, through interpretation of the, previous definition for TIF, we were not able to kind of technically do standalone active transportation projects unless there was an immense safety concern or we were using CMAQ or all of these other funding sources. So this is hugely important. We can go out and do a standalone trail project or a standalone bike lane project, and it does not have to be in conjunction with other capacity projects or roadway projects. So be hearing from us probably by the end of summer. We are going to be kind of jumping in and redoing a lot of our prioritization and folding in those active transportation projects that kind of rise to the top and can be kind of reprioritized into that TIF structure. So any questions, Joy?
One question would be is, how do projects get on the list to be evaluated? Where do you pull the projects from?
Yeah, so existing plans, RTP, are, this will be statewide, so we have a lot of rural planning. Our unified plan is going to have active transportation elements. Matt has been working on pulling in active transportation into our unified plan this year, which is the first time that that has been incorporated. And, we're working on how to figure out the priorities for active transportation in such a manner that they can, be comparative and we can actually understand the economic impacts, the mobility impacts, and the quality of life and well-being impacts for the state for these active transportation projects. And so we have Richard Brockmeyer and Jordan Backman with our office, like diligently diving into that selection criteria so that we can have a very strong foundation for which projects rise up and why, and the rationale for that. So, any other questions?
I want to compliment UDOT. Last year, when Senate Bill 136 was adopted, there was a somewhat intensive conversation with members of the legislature about making the TIF, which is the state's near $700 million fund, principally for new capacity transportation projects, making it more flexible to be able to be used for transit and active transportation. And we were successful in creating the new Transit Transportation Investment Fund, or the TTIF, that Heidi mentioned. But active transportation, last year at least, it was a step too far. The legislature did not want to make that the TIF flexible. This year, to UDOT's credit, UDOT went back and said, this is important. It is important to our community, to the overall functioning of the transportation system. It is helpful to UDOT serving its role to be able to utilize the TIF and TTIF funds for active transportation. So to their credit, they brought this forward, and we all worked together to get now Senate Bill 72, the provisions that Heidi talked about, implemented into law. There are actually not a lot of DOTs around the country that would be the ones that are saying, hey, we want to be able to use the money that flows through us for active transportation projects, but UDOT did that with all of our help and encouragement. So just to all the UDOT folks, nice work.
Yeah, and there have been, kind of growing conversations about the state's well-being and quality of life, and Like even at the annual conference for UDOT, Carlos was talking about how trails, active transportation, and first and last mile connections are going to be key for us as a Department of Transportation to move forward. And so that's now reflected in this legislation and opens up our funding so that we can actually arrive at those kind of visionary goals that are being set by leadership. So, great. Thanks. I'll hand it back off to Hugh.
Yeah, thanks, Heidi. And I hope it's not out of turn to say if you need a sounding board for any of the policies you're developing, please come back to this group and see what they have to say. Thank you.
All the UDOT folks also know that the statute requires UDOT to work with their friendly Metropolitan Planning Organizations in developing those criteria.
No pressure.
We're on it.
Senate Bill 139, Motor Assisted Transportation Amendments. And it's too bad Mayor Silvestrini of Mill Creek is not here, but he was really spearheading a lot of these efforts. We have a task force that's been meeting and sort of keeping track of this as it went through the legislative session. Anybody from Salt Lake City here? Not today. Okay. Obviously, they were tracking this bill quite a bit as well. Other question, did anybody actually ride a scooter over to the meeting this morning? Okay, challenge for next time, right? So this bill did pass, so we'll mark it as green. But essentially there were some issues in state code where all of the e-scooters that you see in the area, and it is larger than just Salt Lake City, right? They're bleeding over into surrounding communities. I'm sure they'll start to bleed into communities to the north as well, as now this legislation has allowed these devices to be legally ridden in the state. Prior to these code amendments, at the state level, scooters could not be ridden on any roadways that had a speed limit higher than 25 miles per hour, nor could they be ridden on any roadways that had more than four lanes, nor could they be ridden if they were if the devices themselves were altered in any way from the original manufacturer's specifications. So, let's say you happen to be riding on a roadway that's 25 miles per hour and happen to be one that had less than four lanes. Okay, so you're good. However, all of the at least shared mobility devices that are out there now have been tinkered with to lower their miles per hour, the maximum miles per hour. And so technically all of those scooter rides were illegal because the device had been tampered with, although to make it safer. So that was also removed from this current legislation and to make them legal on the roadways. Another important aspect of this bill was giving local authority over the regulation of these devices. Right? So in establishing any programs or charging fees to help administer a program from the city side, all of there's a lot of leeway there for cities to handle how they want these devices deployed in the area. At the same time, you know, there needs to be some regional coordination. As anybody that's ridden a bike or a car, not ridden a car, driven a car, or one of these devices, you don't really know when you're crossing over boundaries from one city to another. And so we hope to continue with the task force efforts in order to get some template code provisions, right, that cities can adopt, at least talk about regulations that are pretty similar across the board, again, so you're not dealing with different regulations in different areas. But again, essentially, this bill does make a scooter legally the same as a bicycle. Wherever you can ride a bike, you can ride a scooter. Trails, sidewalks, where permitted. If it's not permitted to be ridden on a bike, you can't ride a scooter either. Any questions on that bill at all with anybody? Okay. Again, a lot of work for Salt Lake City went into that, and Mayor Silvestrini, so we appreciate their efforts there. Senate Bill 34, Affordable Housing Amendments. It's a bill that did pass. Again, what it has to do with this committee and the active transportation now is the language in the bill says that each municipality that has a general plan has to consider in their transportation element of that general plan active transportation, existing active transportation facilities, and future active transportation facilities. So this is language that has been absent, right, from the dawn of the general plan era until now, and so that is exciting to have that as a requirement that every community consider active transportation facilities. And just see this greater push, right, with Senate Bill 72 and getting this in general plan language, that we have to think of all of our networks comprehensively, right? Roadways, transit, bicycle and pedestrian facilities all create transportation networks that can work together for the betterment of our communities. Lenise, anything you want to add on that? You follow this very closely. Come on. meeting something. All right, perfect.
Just in a transportation element, just like in Senate Bill 72 with Senate Bill 34, on the transportation element that you work with your MPOs, that your transportation element considers the metropolitan region's long-range transportation plan.
And Hugh, so all the local governments and the cities and counties have to update their general plans to include a modern housing element by December 1st. So they're all going to be in the position of looking at your general plans, and now this new requirement, you would have thought it would have been in there, but it wasn't. This new requirement that all the, or maybe not, but now it is, to look at active transportation, that every community has to have a transportation plan, element of their general plan, and that has to consider active transportation, which it's the first time this has ever been required in Utah law. So really just furthering this point about having local active transportation plans in communities across the state. So a big step forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to, we'll move on here to talk further this. So there was some money being considered for appropriation for technical planning assistance, which is what our Transportation Land Use Connection Program does, and to help communities, again, establish and come up with plans for these general plans and incorporating active transportation. So originally it was a request for $2 million yearly ongoing, so it wouldn't have to be reappropriated every year. What it ended up with, so there was something passed, was technical planning assistance, but it was $1 million one-time appropriation, correct? And so not as much as would be beneficial for the state, but still another $1 million to go to technical assistance programs like the Transportation Land Use Connection. That is something that will be administered statewide through UDOT, if I understand that correctly, as well. And so excited for further opportunities to help local communities develop these plans and then help out with general plans and active transportation. Appropriation, and maybe Phil, sorry to catch you on the spot, but do you want to talk about the appropriations that have to do with your organization?
Yes, we received an appropriation. This is the second year, actually, for the Youth Best program and also for the 1,000 Miles campaign. So with the Youth Best, the funding goes towards both of those programs. With the Youth Best, we're working on doubling the capacity of that program, so we'll be able to reach about 6,000 students around the state of Utah every year. Just to give you some frame of reference, there's about 25,000 students at grade level in the state of Utah. So if we can get to 6,000 of them, that's about one out of every four children in the state of Utah actually having that training. And with the 1,000 Miles campaign, we're continuing on with that. And similar to the previous one, that provides technical assistance to communities, because we're finding a lot of communities, especially more rural areas as well, don't know how to get from the desired infrastructure that they want, whether that be bike lanes, paths, or even mountain bike trails, to get from that desire point to the funding that's out there. Because there is quite a bit of money between UDOT and the MPOs and through the Office of Outdoor Recreation Grant. But a lot of these communities, some of them, especially more rural ones, don't have a full-time staff member, maybe, and if they do have a staff member, they don't even know how to plan for that type of infrastructure. So our staff member provides that sort of technical assistance. So.
Thanks, Phil. And I'll just mention, you know, these appropriations are not guaranteed every year. Bike Utah works very hard and their partners to make sure that these services are provided, again, to better bicycling in the state, so we appreciate that. Thanks, Bill. All right, so those are all bills that have passed in some form or another, appropriations that were signed. A couple of bills that we were looking at that didn't get some funding, and so Safe Routes to School was looking for additional funding for that program, again, administered statewide. That funding was not considered in this legislative session, so it gets a red on the screen. Yes, back up, please.
Okay. Do you want to add something?
Okay.
I would say, though, even though that didn't get funded, it's still really valuable because as of the way it was written, Safe Routes to School, as the way it was, it's under UDOT right now, it's not required. If UDOT decided, if there was new leadership who decided, hey, we don't think kids getting to school safely is an important thing, they could pull that program, but this codifies it, so it makes it so that it's required for the state of Utah to have a Safe Routes to School program. So yes. Not giving the money was not great, but having it in the statute is really beneficial.
Yeah, so to be fair, the bill passed,
right?
but there was no funding tied to it.
So it got red on the screen. Thank you for the clarification. Hospital 161, the Utah Yield. Anybody can give me a description of the Utah Yield or the Idaho stop? What was that, Alex? Say it loud.
Is it a rolling stop?
A rolling stop. Stop signs for cyclists, right? So rather than having to come to a complete stop, yes, Heidi.
Do you want us to?
You want to talk about that a little
bit? Sure. Just from like the state perspective. So the Idaho stop, this particular one was inclusive of stop signs and signalized intersections, which is an important distinguishing factor for another state that just passed the Idaho stop at stop signs only. And so I think that's why this is kind of not gaining momentum, is because it's also inclusive of signalized intersections, which when you consider the context of signalized intersections across the state, this could include a signalized intersection at Bangor or really significant roadways where there's a lot of complex turning movements and through movements, and so it's logistically complicated to get bikes through. But the Idaho stop is basically for stop signs. Cyclists can slow down and have some intent to yield the right of way to a motorist that is going through an intersection, and then not completely come to a stop, but rather roll through the intersection and resume their momentum. So.
Thank you. Right.
Just from like the state's technical side of things. So.
A little bit tricky to say, yes, go ahead, roll through this intersection at your own peril.
Well, and I clarify too that for the stop for signalized intersections, it was treated like, so basically with stop signs treated as a yield sign, red lights treated as a stop sign, so you still did have to come to a complete stop. So.
Yeah, I think the combination of the two is really kind of like a little bit of a deal breaker. So I think what was the state on my right now? Arkansas passed the Idaho stop law, but it's just for the stop signs.
And I know this was in the running last year, if I can use that term, didn't get passed. What do you think the future of this bill looks like going forward?
I think we need to wait until there's a change at the legislature in leadership. I think there are some committee folks who are never going to let it pass through, so for better or for worse.
And then additionally, with Arkansas passing Idaho stop, we'll have like another year's worth of data to see what this actually does for bicycle safety and for roadway safety. So with just Idaho having this legislation and some like kind of interim deployments in Chicago and in Illinois and Delaware, it's really hard to understand what the safety implications are for a bill like this. And so the more states that kind of pass it, we're able to kind of gather some more data and research to understand if it's a good step for us to take moving forward.
Excellent, thank you.
Yeah, there's comment.
Oh, sorry. Yes, Kim. Sorry, you know what? I'm gonna do this so Brittany here. Is that all right?
I just wanted to make a comment to Senate Bill 34. As some of you are new, the Health Department and the Utah Department of Health and local health departments also have a component of their contracts that they're supposed to help work on active transportation plans within the general plan of their communities. So you have assistance from the health department employees as well.
Thank you. If you're with the health department, just raise your hand, or somebody that promotes health in some way. Nice and high, okay, right. A few people here, so thank you. Okay, and the last bill that we covered last time, this time as well, was House Bill 13, Distracted Driver Amendments, also something that Phil was watching closely, and jump in again at any time, but right, trying to limit how people are using their phones and while they're driving. This is something that did not end up passing. So hopefully we'll look for something next year and how that works. Mayor, is that all right if I get a comment from that? Thank you.
So one other bill that passed that's not on the list is House Bill 139.
Sorry, one other bill that passed that's not listed here is House Bill 139 by Representative Angela Romero, and we worked with her to, this is a rolling coal bill, and to increase penalties on drivers who roll coal. and we worked with her to...
Describe what that is for people.
Yeah, rolling coal is typically diesel pickup trucks that have some modification to the emission system to be able to blast out a big cloud of black smoke, and they can do that at will. Some diesels blast that out because they're not well tuned, but there are people who do this on purpose. And there was an incident last year where a cyclist, there was in a bike event in central Utah, and there's an incredible photo taken by a guy named Michael Conti of this that I think was used to help pass this bill, but it just shows this cyclist being engulfed in black smoke. And so it includes a provision to for vulnerable road users, pedestrians, bicyclists, and other road users. So, thanks.
And that's Mr. David Eltis for the minutes if you need it. Okay. I think that's everything I have on that. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. You might want to just stay up there. Get in just a second. But I wanted to welcome Mayor Caduceu. And if she
did... I could have rode my bike.
I got her faster. Well, we appreciate having you here. She's new to this committee, and we're excited to have her. Do you want to just stand and introduce yourself and tell us why you're excited to be on the AC Street?
My name is Mayor Michelle Caduceu, and I am the mayor of Provo, City of Utah. And my fault, I went into my office this morning. I know better. I was sure I could get just a few things done and be here in 40 minutes. It didn't work, so I will do better. I apologize, but I'm thrilled to be on this committee. I'm a huge advocate for active transportation. We're really hitting the heart under my leadership, and so when this opening came up, I called them to talk, and I wish I would love to. I'm happy to be here. I'm getting the heart.
Well, we're happy to have you here. All right.
And that's a good reminder that this committee is not just the Wasatch Front Regional Council Committee, but it's a joint committee between Wasatch Front Regional Council and the Mountain Range Association of Governments. And so we have membership on both throughout the whole Wasatch Front region.
Thank you, George. All right. Next on our agenda is Bike Month Activity Idea Sharing, and Hugh is going to lead that.
Thank you. And again, I'm grateful that Mayor Caduceu is here, because I know Provo is actively involved in Bike Month every year, so hopefully you can contribute to this conversation. And again, May is Bike Month. This is the extent of the slide presentation that we have, just to remind you. So this is what's going on. So, oh yes, several things.
Just quickly on Bike Month, this is on, great. We're doing a statewide Bike Month poster. The department, I think it's the first time you've ever had a statewide bike poster. I think I'll have the final digital version available at the end of this week, and it is going through a mass mailing to every bike shop, coffee shop, and brewery, and other large employment centers in the state. And so we'll have some available here at Wasatch Front for you guys to pick up and share. So we're going to be doing kind of some promotional stuff for Bike Month.
Yeah, that's excellent. And that's what I'd like to have everybody sort of talk about. And just by raising hands, who's participated in a Bike Month event prior to this year? Awesome. Good handful of people. Is anybody aware of a Bike Month activity that is coming up in May? Already. All right, less so, right? We're just getting into this phase of planning and getting things advertised. So for those that have packets at your tables, sort of underneath everything, there's two handouts there. That we can reference and you can take with you. But for those that have experienced an event before, and Mayor, is it okay if I open this question up to the audience as well? What is an event that you've appreciated and that has gone well? What's that?
To work day.
Where are you from, sir? Okay, so why Bike Work Day, what was that event? Was it a Wasatch Front event?
Yes.
And
a number of us met right around here by the front runner stop, and then we rode to the former office. This is so awkward. We rode to the former office out in the International Center, and then there was like coffee and bagels. But it was nice to have like a group ride out there and then some support as well.
Any thoughts had a similar situation where they got together with a group of coworkers and met at this place and rode in to work? Does that happen? Okay. Well, that's an idea, all right? That's something that y'all can think about. Anybody else? Any other events that you participated in that have been nice events? Yes, Travis, come back here.
So I'm a transplant to Utah, so I wasn't here in Utah, but we actually did a cyclovia at one point where we actually closed down about 30 miles worth of roadways, rural roadways, and opened it up just to bicyclists. And as we did that, we also had all the MPOs, any bike shops, anyone who wanted to, could set up tents along the routes. And they all had like giveaways, things like that for the bicyclists as they went through. People were able to track their miles. They could do hashtags for photos. They actually had people going out and doing paintings out in these rural areas. They had a mobile bike repair crew that would actually go up and help people, anyone who broke down on the side of the road. And it was just a great event. We ended up getting eventually some 400 people or so that would participate in this event on a single, it was on a Sunday. And it just kept growing every year. So that was a lot of fun.
A lot of your local health departments over the years have done Bike to School Day. And they've gone to local schools and they've passed out incentives like light reflectors. We've even gone as far as to do bike helmets. So a lot of your local health departments have participated in Bike to School Day quite often through the years. But you can collaborate with them, just so you know.
Thanks, Ken. So Bike to Work Day has been mentioned, Bike to School. What are some other, if you haven't participated in something, what is something you think you could do during the month of May? Grant.
So I didn't participate in it because of a comms bike, but the Traffic Operations Center had a bike to lunch day, and so they either rode their bikes in, then rode them, or rode their bikes in, then rode them to lunch. But that was something that we have a wellness committee at Region 2 that we're looking at doing this month in May. It's bike to lunch.
Cool. I like that. I hadn't heard of bike to lunch, but that makes a lot of sense. You don't have to figure it out in the morning, just bring your bike and go from there. I like that. Anybody else? Any other thoughts or ideas on what could happen during bike month? For the ATC committee, I'm slightly disappointed, actually.
No. Well, Helen, I'll speak up for UTA. Joe Taylor at UTA.
No, one sorry, thing you get a mic in front of you. All right, here. Thanks.
I'll speak up for UTA, but what they have is, I used to schedule buses for one of our programs to come and have a bike rack on the front, and we would allow people to, or what that does is it allows people to, in a calm, relaxed way, understand how to communicate with the driver, how to work the rack that comes down, and just kind of not do it in a way that's messing with the time of the bus getting to the next bus stop. And Joe took the initiative, and I just so admire him for this. He took the initiative to make one, a bike rack that fits on the back of a pickup, so we don't have to have a huge bus and operator and all that piece with it. The operator can be much more interactive with the people practicing their bike, putting their bikes. So reach out to Joe, have that come to the office, learn how to put your bike rack on in a calm, relaxed way, so you understand all the mechanics that go with that when you're commuting to the office.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Great point. Well, yeah, yes, Mayor.
Provo does a huge bike to work day. We start at 7 in the morning, and I meet at a designation. Usually I invite the whole city, whoever wants to come. And usually last year I had about 45 bikers with me. And then we have different businesses sponsor stations. Last year we had 14 stations, Qualtrics, bagel shop, just all different kinds. And part of hosting is they provide food or swag. I was able to hit 10 last year, and then Provo City, we end at Provo City, and we do a huge pancake breakfast and Coke Kilt sponsor, and we have t-shirts that say the word Provo, and the bows are bike spokes, and this year we're doing sweatshirts for the first time, some retro sweatshirts we're excited to give out. But that's our bike to work day is pretty significant. And then our bike to school day, we have our bicycle collective branch out and be at each school. And as the children ride their bikes, we give giveaways. But we also have volunteers there to fix bikes. So they tune them up for the kids while they're in school. They put air in their tires. They fix the oil, the chains. And so when the children come out, their bikes have had basically been fixed up and able to go for the rest of the summer.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Dave, I'm back to chat.
So I'm Dave. I'm with Cycling Utah. We've maintained the Utah Bike Month calendar for roughly the last 15 years. Some of the events that have gone on are like the Ride of Silence, which is to commemorate bicyclists who have been hurt or killed. That's typically the third Wednesday of the month. Bike to Work Day, Bike to School Day. There's a National Bike to School Day. That's the first in the first week of May. There's a bike in movie that happens sometimes in Provo. There are trails events. There's been a Bike Utah Bike Bash. There's we used to have here the UTA Bike Bonanza, which was sort of and Cycle Salt Lake, which was a week-long festival. Sadly, that went away, and also this year, Open Streets is not happening in Salt Lake City due to lack of funding. Bike Prom is another Bike Month event, and there's just a whole slew of things across the state. There's even somebody in Provo that has been doing ghost tours. That's sort of a season-long thing, but they have a special ghost tour for Bike Month. Salt Lake City typically does bicycle pit stops where they're out with four or five stops through the city where their bagels or, you know, bike repair stations, coffee, that sort of thing, where they reach out to commuters across the city. Mother's Day typically is the Cyclofem ride. That's a worldwide ride for to commemorate women who cycle. And those are some of those rides are things that people can, you know, go to the various websites, the Ride of Silence or the Cyclofem website, and promote their own. So anyway, if there are bike events, we'd love to list all of them, so thanks.
And on one of those resource sheets in front of you, Cycling Utah website is on there to note that calendar.
Sorry, one more thing I remembered. We also did a mayor's bike ride. So we had a trail that went from Folsom all the way and ended actually in downtown. It was a class one trail that was some 35 miles long or something. And what we would do is we would start in Folsom at a bagel shop, and then we would pick up the various mayors from the different municipalities as we went down to downtown Sacramento. And it was a great way to get the local agencies involved in bicycling, get them out on bikes to experience the trails, and get them excited about the idea of bicycling. And then at the end, we would have a big party downtown. So it was a lot of fun, more raised awareness, and everybody enjoyed it.
Thank you. Okay, so obviously there's a lot that goes on during May, and a lot more will come out on the calendars.
One more.
Sorry, Mayors.
I'm just, excuse me, just a little slow. Lit Fit Riverdale is a program we have that runs year-round, promotes health and wellness. During May, we've had Celebrate Bike Month. During the year, I'm not sure which month the schools, they have their ride to school activity. But during Bike Month, we've had, we did this usually on a Monday evening early, and we would have bike rides according to the level of ability for the different bikers, you know, some are on city streets, some are on our Weaver River Parkway Trail. And another night we'd have, they could bring their bikes and we'd have experienced bikers and bike shop type people that would inspect their bikes and make tune-ups and things to help. Another night, police and fire, they would sponsor a bike rodeo, and that was for the children. That was really popular with them. I think that's pretty well the activities we've done. Thank you.
Well, thank you. A lot of activities. And so if you're an agency or a company that can sponsor something during Bike Month, these are a lot of ideas. The last thing I'll talk about is the bingo card that is on your table before you. This is mostly for your personal efforts to try and get out and do something during Bike Month. And obviously, the idea with bingo, right, you cover all the spaces, and so there's some fun things on here, right? If you biked in the rain, something called the National Bike Challenge you can sign up for and log your ride and get do it with coworkers or with friends and sort of challenge each other to the miles that you're riding. Even small things like change the bike tire are on here. A couple of things I want to point out. One of these says, and this is from the League of National League of American Bicyclists, thank you. And customize this to whatever you want to do, just to get you out personally and friends and family and coworkers. One of these says, rode on a velodrome. Can anybody tell me if we have a velodrome in the state of Utah?
There's a mini mobile one that I...
A mini mobile one.
A mini drone.
So you have to track
Mary
it down.
Daniel's husband owns a mini mobile velodrome. What? So if anyone wants to buy Seriously? It, yeah. If anyone wants to buy it, he's looking to sell
cool.
it.
I know you're
there was one in Draper near Walker.
Well, we have a spot for one. We had a committee form some years ago, but it has sort of died. But there's still a spot for one to be built.
So if you can't track down the mini velodrome, you don't want to pretend about the one that's going to be built in Draper, change this square, right? Make it a bike skills park, of which there are several, one of which is in Draper.
Well, we have an actual bike skills park that we're going to have a kind of a committee ride on, I think, come up. We built, it wasn't very expensive, quite frankly, it was about $80,000, so we had it donated. It's in the middle of a flat area of our trail system. But it's a bike skills park. It has every element that's on our trails, hairpin turns, different kinds of bridges we have. But it's on a flat, sort of a flat area, so you can take a little kid, 5-6-year-old, teach him to ride the trail system in 4 or 5 laps, they'll go right out on it. It's amazing. You get anyone comfortable with biking in this skills park. We also have a jumping park where you can break your neck. You're welcome to come try that as well. We have governmental immunity in all cases there, so
Hey, I noticed there's a couple on here, change a bike tire and added air, and I was thinking of an event we did at WFRC where we volunteered on the Jordan River and pulled Puncture by and go ahead. So that could be another idea to get out and not just ride, but also help do some maintenance. And I'm not sure if the schedule, Dave's probably an expert on when they start coming out and when you can start pulling.
So the pull is later in the year.
Okay. But an idea is something you could do later in the year in preparation for the following year.
Yeah, thanks, Troy. So a lot of things you can do. And just, again, if something doesn't quite work for you on here, cross it out and put in your own item. And again, that gets you out, it gets some people out that you know riding in May. And hopefully in June, when our next meeting is, we can come back and sort of report. If you take one of these with you and bring it back blacked out, lunch on me, all right? So, and if you want me to go with you, I can do that too. Otherwise, I'll just pay for it. But just a little bit of incentive to get out and enjoy Bike Month and really make it an opportunity to expand your horizons a little bit personally, right? Whether it's a group ride, whether it's getting out with friends, coworkers, bike to lunch, bike to work, please just get out and ride and bring people along with you. So, Mayor, thank you very much. That's all I have on that.
Just an idea over here, and it's a good one. On June 12th is our next meeting, so we're challenging everyone to ride a bike to this meeting. I apologize, I might need to turn the time over to you.
She's going through the nurse, so emotional about the bike.
I am. I'm like excited about this. Thank you, dear.
Madam Mayor, I just want to say, is it legal question?
alternative route you can ride.
I wouldn't recommend it though.
So maybe we'll give extra credit if you're from Tooele County or from Morgan County or from Utah County or Weber County and you ride your bike here, then there's a special prize for you or something. That would be, that would really be impressive. You would have gotten there sooner. Right?
You're sure?
Yes.
You bet you can.
Yes, you can. And even if you need to drive part of the way and then hop on your bike, then that counts too. As long as you come in on a bike, right?
Fair enough.
Okay. All right. Okay. Next on the agenda is agency city county program updates. Do we have anyone? Okay. Seeing none, I have a motion to adjourn. Mayor Walker, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much for coming, everybody.